Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow we will have Dick Girardi from Churchill Downs to talk about the Kentucky Derby. Also tomorrow, Dave Bryan, SteelerDepot.com. But it's going to be more than just a conversation about the Steelers picture this week. He's been able to break down the videos of 75 to 100 draft picks. So we'll get some insight into rounds 2 and 3, which will be tomorrow, on what he saw in his video reviews. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, is going to join us tomorrow as well. So, big show coming up tomorrow, when tomorrow's show, of course, being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. I will watch all the draft tonight. Now, maybe at some point or another I'll change over and watch a little bit of the Caps and Rangers, maybe a little bit at some point, maybe Anaheim and Calgary. But it's draft night. Will the Eagles make the big trade? Will they deal Sam Bradford to the Cleveland Browns? And I would guess they would do it for the 12th pick. Kev, you asked earlier, I thought, a really good question. You know, would you want the 19th or the 12th?
Right.
I think you'd like the 12th pick because I think, and allow the Browns to keep 19, because now you would be giving your package to get to the number two pick would be back-to-back 19th and 20th. And I think it's more attractive if it's 12 and 20. And I'm talking about if the Eagles had the 12th pick.
Well, I think if you're the Titans, it doesn't really matter either way. I think if you
yes, it does.
Well,
no, yes, but, yes, it does. You don't want the 19th and 20th picks. You want the 12th and 20th picks.
But here's what I was going to say. If you get the 19th pick, you may not get as good of a player in this trade as if you were getting the 19th pick. And I'm not talking the player they're drafting. I'm talking about the players that are in this deal for everybody involved.
More power in having the 12th and 20th.
That's true.
I'm not saying Tennessee keeps the picks. Tennessee may trade down and go for multiple picks across the board.
That's a very good point.
Tennessee's in the power spot here. They're in the power position. Nobody else is. Cleveland has two picks at 12 and 19. It just means at this moment they have more leverage to make a deal than somebody else. The yes or no on any deal belongs to Tennessee. They have all the power. And I think this is going to be a major judgment on the part of Ken Whisenhunt, who's had a lot of time to think about it. Is Marcus Mariota your quarterback moving forward that you can build a winner around? That answer will come about 8:30 tonight after Tampa Bay has exhausted all 10 minutes to tell us it's Jameis Winston. Which will drive you insane.
It's ridiculous.
It's a television show.
Is there anybody on the face of the earth that thinks after the first 3 minutes, when none of the people at the table are picking up the phone, that it's not going to be Winston?
I understand, but it's a TV show. That's why, for example, they've asked all the TV partners to not tweet out the names of the guys picked, because they want them presented on TV. It's a television show. It's a draft that's also a television show.
Excuse me, Mr. Commissioner, we'd like to make our pick now. No, you still have 10 minutes left. But we know who we want. I don't care. They're still doing the pregame shows.
I mean, Winston's not going to even be there. But I believe by agreement that I want to say it's ESPN's turn to interview the top pick tonight.
I'm pretty sure you're right, because I think last year it was Dion that interviewed everybody.
Yeah. Well, it alternates every year as to, you know, as to who gets 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. And I think last year it was NFL Network that had that. So this year it is the first overall pick will be interviewed by ESPN. The second overall pick will be interviewed by the NFL. In terms of being first, the NFL Network will then interview the second overall pick. They get 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. These little things maybe a lot of people didn't realize. 800-795-9565. Will you pay $99 to watch Pacquiao Mayweather? It's your money. You'll get no argument from me. That's how you want to spend it on entertainment. Let's face it. I have a golf membership here. A lot of you don't like golf. Well, I like golf, so I bought myself a golf membership. It's good for me to get away from everything and go out and relax and do something. All right? That's not your cup of tea. Maybe a great fight is your cup of tea, and you want to spend the $99 on Mayweather Pacquiao. Great. That's fine. It's something I'm not going to do, but that doesn't mean I don't heartily endorse your right to go out and enjoy something, a great fight. So are you going to spend it on $99, yes or no, or a cover charge? Local establishments will have a cover charge. 800-795-9565. Is the number. And what do you find more intriguing? Do you find the NFL draft more intriguing or Mayweather Pacquiao?
It's funny. I was reading.
What's more intriguing, the draft to you tonight or the fight?
I was reading an interview with Evander Holyfield, and he made some interesting points when talking about boxing in the United States. He said, we've had American boxers go out and lose to boxers from India. He said, you can't imagine that happening 30 years ago. And he said, there's a lack of nationally televised fights and youth development. He said, when Howard Cosell was actually broadcasting it into everybody's living rooms on Saturday afternoons, there was a lot more attention to the sport. The sport has faded into the background a lot. And part of it, I think, is what he's trying to say is what I've felt for a long time, is because of the pay-per-view big boxing matches.
That's only a small part of it. I think the sport's just flat out dying, and I can tell you exactly the night it did die. I can pinpoint it for you in no uncertain terms.
The night that Holyfield got his ear bit?
No, the night Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson. When that happened, like, wow. And then, of course, now came, Tyson then went off the rails. And that was it. That's the night that it started to die, that night in Tokyo in the 10th round when Buster Douglas knocked him out. Because then Tyson really essentially mounted no comeback of any note, including biting the ear of Holyfield and the fan man thing and the whole day, whatever. At that point, it went from being, wow, heavyweight champion of the world, or what Leonard, Hagler, Hearns, and Duran did for the welterweight, middleweight divisions. What they did was spectacular in their era. And what happened was, at that point, between biting the ear, fan man, and all the other stuff that happened, the sport went off the rails. And it has been a sport in this country that has been dominated. I think this is a fair statement. I think it's a sport that has been dominated on the championship level by outstanding African-American fighters. Whether it's Joe Louis or Sugar Ray Robinson or Muhammad Ali or Joe Frazier or George Foreman or Ken Norton or Larry Holmes or Mike Tyson or Sugar Ray Leonard or Tommy Hearns or Marvin Hagler. You know, I mean, you see where I'm going here. And what's happened over time is that the culture of sports in this country changed. Where instead of having the doors at the University of Alabama locked, they swung wide open if you wanted to play college football or college basketball. Instead of having the doors at the University of Kentucky locked to outstanding African-American athletes, the doors swung wide open to great college basketball players and college football players. That happened everywhere across the South and up into the Northeast. I mean, Penn State certainly had outstanding African-American athletes here in the 50s. Jesse Arnell, Rosie Grier, Lenny Moore, to name some. But not to the percentage that you saw it grow to in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and then all the way up until today. And with those kinds of opportunities available, whether it's college football, college basketball, or any other sport, for that matter. This is the outstanding young defenseman of the Nashville Predators. His father, Popeye Jones, played basketball in Rec Hall against Penn State in the 1989 NIT for Murray State. And then actually went on to the NBA and played a little bit there. But his son ended up playing hockey. So I think you've seen the changes over time where fewer and fewer white, African American, whatever, go into the sport of boxing. And I think the numbers are so thin right now across the board because I think there's just so many options out there. I mean, look at the great soccer players out there. Young Freddie Adu was out there at the age of 14. Ford has died. It's faded out. It's gone.
Well, and
what we're seeing on Saturday night, Kevin, is a total fabrication.
Well, but I think there's two components, though, to what boxing's downfall is. And I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, by the way. I'm not at all. I think the popularity of MMA and UFC have really hurt boxing. It has not helped boxing.
I agree with that.
But how did both get their popularity started? Those were shows that were readily available before they became popular. Then they became pay-per-view events. And they still do some MMA and UFC fights that are championship fights that are specials on television and not pay-per-view events. You don't see many fights right now that are on television, let alone broadcast television at all. If it's not a pay-per-view event, it's on HBO or Showtime.
Yeah, but Kevin, a lot of people get HBO and Showtime. You know that.
I understand that, but you're not. I don't think many people are buying HBO and Showtime to get those fights. What I'm saying is
they're buying HBO and Showtime, and it just turns out they carry a lot of fights.
Right, exactly. But what I'm saying is it's not available like it was in Howard Cosell's day when he was broadcasting game. And this is the point I think Holyfield was trying to make, and I agree. When Howard Cosell was on broadcast television, you were seeing the big guys fighting on broadcast television, and it became
Kevin,
a regular occurrence.
There aren't any big guys. There aren't any big guys. That's my point. Who were the big guys? Klitschko? Whoop-de-doo, really? Klitschko would have been destroyed by Ali, would have been destroyed by Foreman, would have been destroyed by Norton, would have been destroyed by Holmes, would have been destroyed by Frazier. Really? I'll never forget the night in 1983. I'm in Philadelphia, Friday night. Penn State's going to play Temple the next day. Right? And Jerry Cutsia knocked out Michael Doakes. And Barry Tonkin yelled out, and Jerry Cutsia is the heavyweight champion of the world. And Joe Paterno picked his head up and he says, "Who?" I was sitting right next to him when he said it. That explains boxing today in one word.
No, I can't disagree with you. I watched Klitschko Jennings. They had 17 million viewers on that for some reason. It was the most watched fight on HBO since, well, not that late, but not that long ago, but it's been the most watched fight in the last 3 to 5 years on HBO. And it was terrible. It was not a good fight.
I never saw Marciano or Lewis fight, obviously. They were done before I was born. So, but I could talk about the fighters I saw in my era. That has destroyed this guy. Mayweather would have been just absolutely would have been taken apart by Leonard. Hagler's a middleweight. By Leonard, Hearns, and Duran. They'd have taken him apart. 47-0, he'd be 47-0. I mean, cut me a break. He doesn't have the power to compete with these guys. And you're going to tell me that, you know, Mayweather, he's so incredibly lightning fast. What do you think? Sugar Ray Leonard was pedestrian?
Sugar Ray Leonard was fast.
He was fast, he was great in his feet, and he had power. Mayweather hasn't knocked out a guy, Kevin, in 4 years.
Yeah, that surprised me when you said that the other day.
And he's fighting lousy guys. Okay, he's fighting the bum of the month club, and he hasn't knocked one out in 4 years. Pacquiao hasn't knocked out a guy in 6 years. I mean, what made those guys, all of them, great? Okay, and the other part, too, is the 12-round thing. Doesn't help. How many times have you seen the great fights, rounds 13, 14, 15? When did Frazier knock down Ali? 15th round. When did Frazier and Ali both admit they felt like they were near death in Manila? Round 14. Okay? Leonard and Duran went 15 in Montreal. Hagler Leonard. Okay? You go 12 rounds now. Okay? So many things happen in 13, 14, 15 when fatigue sets in. Cumulative punches. 5,000 belts available. Nobody knows who the champion of the world is in anything. I don't even know what belt's available.
Oh, there's a lot of belts, but
on Saturday
none of them,
night.
Yeah, I was going to say none of them can name off the top of your head.
But I'm saying, what are they fighting for on Saturday night? I don't know. Do you? Does anybody?
No.
Every organization has a champion.
Yes.
Every organization has a champion. There's actually an American that holds one of the heavyweight boxing champion belts. The sport has no depth. The sport's died. In the 50s, 40s and 50s, and 30s, 30s, 40s and 50s, and then with Ali and Frazier into the 70s, boxing was really at a foothold in the sports world. And then into the 80s, obviously, when you've got, you know, Hagler, Leonard, and some of the, you know, and obviously Duran, Leonard, and so forth. But when the night that Douglas beat Tyson, and then Tyson could never mount a competent comeback, the sport flushed.
In the super...
And you know what? And I'll tell you right now, and you watch how this fight has been hyped this week, and I don't get it. Neither one of these guys would have survived Leonard, Hagler, Hearns, Duran. Neither one of them would have.
In the super welterweight junior middleweight division, there are six fighters... or five belts. Now, I don't know how that works, but there's two WBA champions. There's a WBC, the IBF, the WBO, and the ring.
Well, what are they fighting for other than cash on Saturday night?
Well, the only thing I could... If there is a belt involved, I would...
I would hope so.
If there's a belt involved, I would think it would be the WBA that Mayweather holds... and the WBO that Pacquiao holds. Now, Mayweather also holds the WBC and the ring welterweight division. But here's another one. In the welterweight division, there are three WBA belt holders right now.
Yeah, but when's the weigh-in? Tomorrow?
I don't know for sure. I think it is, but I don't know for sure.
What are they supposed to be weighing it tomorrow? 147? Is that the number? What's the number?
If it's a welterweight, it's 147. Otherwise, you're looking at 154, which is the super welterweight junior middleweight. But I'm guessing 147 without knowing for sure, because Pacquiao, that's where he's at with the WBO belt. Whatever happened to Oscar De La Hoya?
I'm watching hockey.
I don't blame you. I would rather see Pacquiao De La Hoya, but again, 10 years ago.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, if Mayweather got in there with Dave Schultz, Dave Schultz or the Flyers would kill him. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The year was 1915. Thomas Edison was lighting up the countryside. Abigail Geisinger was starting a local hospital. Henry Ford was building the Model T. And J.O. Mertz founded the Sunbury Motor Company.
100 years later, Sunbury Motors has become the most established and recognizable Ford franchise in all of northeastern and central Pennsylvania. In 1915, Sunbury Motors had an inventory of around 10 vehicles. And today, there's over 500 to choose from. They had two employees then and almost 200 now. SMC continuously improves for you. Sunbury Motors has a complete service department with a separate diesel shop and quick lane for your convenience. A state-of-the-art body shop and frame and alignment shop, along with one of the largest Ford parts operations on the East Coast. In the past several years, Sunbury Motors has also added the full lineup of Lincoln and Hyundai vehicles. Everyone is welcome to become part of the SMC growing family. Sunbury Motors, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Thanks, J.O.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Tomorrow, Dick Girardi from Churchill Downs on the Kentucky Derby, being run Saturday. 20 horses in the field. Well, Dave Bryant, SteelersDepot.com tomorrow to talk about the NFL draft. And not just the Steelers pick or prospective picks. We're going to be talking about, he's looked at video of 75 to 100 different prospects. So I want to get a feel overall in the draft from him. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, all on tomorrow's show. Pacquiao Mayweather, of course, is the event of the week. ESPN has promoted the fight to the point where you think they're carrying it. And they aren't. And they're claiming that the fight is overshadowing the NFL draft. Au contraire, mon frere. I don't think that's happening. I think if you were sitting in the media in Las Vegas, the fight is an all-consuming thing to you. If you were outside of Nevada, you're a sports fan in general, you're locked on the NFL draft tonight and tomorrow night. Now, Saturday night, and the NFL draft will be over by then. Then people will lock in and about the fight. The fight's overshadowing the Kentucky Derby. How about that? Kentucky Derby will have its moment, and the betting public will love it. This is a deep field.
Yeah, the 20 horses, and the favorite, American Pharaoh's, going from post 18 in the extended gate.
Yeah, that's not bad. Keeps you out of the traffic.
Is that the spin on it?
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with going out of 18. I think your problem is going out of like the first like holes 1 through 6 or 7. There's so much traffic and a let's belt each other to get to the rail. That's a problem. Coming out from 18 usually gives you a free ride out. You just want to get out clean.
1982 was the only horse to win from the 18th post.
Okay.
No, it's just a statistic. I'm not debating it with you. I'm just not. You know.
Okay.
Gato del Sol in 1982 was the only horse to win from the 18th post.
Okay.
Bob Baffert, who's the trainer of American Pharoah, said, as long as there's been a winner from that gate, I don't want to carry that with me, but it takes a good horse to win. I mean, the break's going to be very important. As long as there's a winner from that gate, he's okay.
But if you break out, one thing about being out there is you break out clean. You're not going to get bumped around. It's horses one through six or seven where there's that bunching in there. Once you get out to about 10, you know, 9, 10, whatever, and then, and there really shouldn't be much of a problem for horses 14 and 15 getting out because there's a separation between the gates.
Right. That's where the extension comes in.
Right.
Here's the important part. The guy riding the horse, Victor Espinoza, is fine with being out there. He said he's more comfortable on the outside. And seeing as he did well last year with California Chrome, I'd feel pretty confident in him too.
Sure. It's just look, you got to run your race. This is a very hard race to run your race because of the number of horses. And I think the cleaner you get out of the gate, the better chance you have to run your race. You got to angle yourself down to get to a spot. But I think you got to settle yourself in somewhere, even from that spot. If you can get between 7 and 12 to settle yourself into once you get to the opening quarter, now you settle into the race, and I don't think it really matters what gate you came out of. I mean, unless you're telling me, Kevin, gate 12 is a rocket in it.
Listen, I find the irony here just too good. The horse that drew gate 20 on the far right is named Far Right.
Love it.
That's the best.
Except on TV, it'll be on the left.
Well, it depends on what angle they go.
Well, they never go from the angle from behind.
That's true. Not in the opening, anyway. Maybe on the replay.
Yeah. So, actually, they go over the top on the replay.
Yeah, it's an overhead shot, right.
Yep.
There's some great names in here, though. You have, Firing Line, Stanford, International Star, It's a Knockout, American Pharoah, War Story, Upstart, and Frosted. I'm guessing that horse is gray.
And Alpo's Dream. I think it'll finish last. All right.
I don't see it. Alpo's Dream. I think you made that one up. Is it Dortmund? Is that the name of one of them?
I have no idea.
I know it was in the Santa Anita. I remember that, but I couldn't remember how it was pronounced. Dean Wayne Lucas has the long shot, Mr. Z, at 50-1 right now.
There you go. All right, but the drafts tonight. Steelers, will take Robinson from Wake. The Eagles, let's have fun. They'll trade up. Bradford will be a Brown.
I think so. Listen, I honestly don't believe that they gave Sam Bradford any Eagles freebies yet. And I don't even think that the Eagles management has his Social Security number for checks, just in case.
Now, the Rams have contacted the Titans, according to reports. The Jets have contacted the Titans, according to reports. And the Browns have. And we know the Eagles have been trying to work out something between now and 8 o'clock. I see. There's the intrigue.
Yeah, but this is the second pick. It's not like anybody's working for the first pick. That's what's funny to me.
I think the fact that the Buccaneers so dearly need a quarterback I think the only team that could make a trade with them where the Buccaneers would take it would be Tennessee. Because then they'd be assured of one of the two quarterbacks. Tampa Bay needs one badly. And yes, I heard you in the open talking about how Winston is in the video game as a Buccaneer.
He is. He's in the Madden upload for the Madden Ultimate. What is it? Madden Ultimate team, I think. It's a downloadable addition to your game.
Oh.
And he's squinting. If you'd like to see
him. He doesn't wear glass when he plays.
If you'd like to see.
He doesn't wear contacts.
If you'd like to see what it looks like, you can head to the Steve Jones Show page on Facebook.
We're promoting this?
Well, no. I put it on my page and then linked and then shared it on the Steve Jones
Show page. Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah.
You did, huh?
That's your fault for giving me access to that page. That's all I have to say.
You do know video games aren't real, right?
I'm well aware. You do know that video games are a big part of the sports market as far as dollars are concerned, right? And licensing fees?
To a point, Kev. It's like Monopoly. It's not part of the sports realm. It's like Monopoly. It's like Clue. It's like Sorry. It's a game. I mean, that's all it is, a game. There's no real difference in the video game part of it. You know, it's a game. You're playing make-believe. All right, I'm going to buy Park Place, and I'm going to buy Baltic Avenue, Mediterranean. I'm going to buy St. Charles Place, Virginia, and States Avenue. And I'm going to put hotels up. Am I really putting up hotels?
No, I'm talking about the money the Players Association gets and the NFL gets from the license fees.
That's just part of being able to use the visual image.
I mean, Madden's a $4 billion video game franchise.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean it's a sport.
No, I'm not claiming it's a sport.
It's the equivalent. It is the equivalent, for example, of the money that Major League Baseball players make for having their faces put on a card, and me as a kid taking my baseball cards in chalk on concrete in my basement, drawing out a baseball field, right, getting a Lincoln Log, the flat green roof, one of the sides, and then one of the corner pieces, and using that as the ball, and using that as a fulcrum to launch the ball, and using a measuring stick to see if they catch it, or if the ball goes off the wall, and my walls were out of cardboard, because my dad, with a sheet metal fabrication, all the stuff, cardboard was in between all the sheets, so I took some of the cardboard from dad's work, and made walls, had a scoreboard, and the whole thing. And if it hit the wall, it was a double. If it went over the wall, it was a home run. If it fell in the field of play, that's the same concept. I made the game up. I mean, I made the game up using baseball cards. What's the difference between that and a video game? They got the royalties. The players got the royalties from the baseball cards. There's no difference. It's a game.
See,
it's make-believe.
My generation learned from the mistakes our fathers made by putting them in the spokes, putting the cards in the spokes of the bikes and pitching them in a hat.
But that's not my point. I made up a game using baseball cards where the players got royalties.
From
Tops and from the other groups.
Okay,
and I made a game up. Well, that's what this is. They made up a game, but they have to use the royalties because they're using the images of the players, just like a baseball card is the image of the players. Just I did it in the 60s and 70s, or actually in the 60s I did this with baseball cards. And there's no difference between that and you playing a video game. I don't care if it's a $4 billion industry. It just means the industry has grown.
Well, here's
and
where...
And it's a royalty. It's a game. That's all it is a make-believe game.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Because in these games, you can actually now take players from all your favorite players from different teams and actually create your own team.
Yeah, but I don't care if you just use the Patriots and that's your team, or the Steelers, that's your team.
Right.
It's still a make-believe game. It's Monopoly and Park Place. It's make-believe. Hey, look, I have North Carolina, Pennsylvania Avenue, Marvin Gardens. We're going to put up some hotels. What's the difference? It's make-believe. Now, it's fun because it's video, the movement, the action, the facial expressions, how the game's announced and things like that. They do everything they can to make it an incredibly realistic looking deal, but in the end, it's pretend. So I don't care if Winston's already in the video game. It's just another pretend thing. It's like they're making up a football card of him with a Bucks helmet on. What's the difference? I know. I'm the fun sucker.
Read my mind.
I know. I'm the fun sucker. But, I mean, that's all, in reality, that's all it is.
I guarantee you there's going to be a Madden commercial in the draft tonight.
Early. I'm sure it's a commercial entity. It's a product. It would be the same as them doing video Monopoly. Okay? You really don't buy Park Place and Boardwalk. You really don't. That's not really your money down there in front of you. You're not paying $200 for Short Line Railroad. Just like in the video game, the Steelers, hey, we went 13-3. They didn't really go 13-3. You did with the game.
I don't know. The Super Bowl trophy is in my awards closet. Now the fact that I can't touch it is a different issue, but no, I totally understand what you're saying.
That's all it is. Now, does it bring with it fun and intriguing stories? Gee, they played the Super Bowl with it, and this is how it played out, and the score was, the same, wasn't it?
It was the same and actually ended with an interception, if I remember correctly.
They do a lot of research, just like APA did a lot of research with their dice game. What was the other dice game? Stratomatic?
Stratomatic, yeah.
They did a lot of research, and really, let's think of it this way. Stratomatic, APA, leading into Madden. In order to do what they do, you know what they use?
Statistics.
Analytics. They were way ahead of the curve. Think about that. And I give them all the credit in the world for putting together businesses that make money. They employ people. They've got computer geniuses. I mean geniuses that make this thing work great. The only thing I find disturbing about it is that a couple of you think it's real.
Although we did get a message from Kyle that says his Jags are 3-year Super Bowl champs so far. So yeah, maybe there is a reality issue.
And then, and if nothing proves my point more than anything, it's that! We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Way to go, Kyle. Coming up tonight on Spencer for Hire.
That's the theme from John Madden Football 1990, John Madden Football 92 on the Sega Genesis. I can't tell you how many times I heard that and played that.
Robert Urich and Avery Brooks star in Spencer for Hire.
They actually would zoom in when you were close to a first down and show the measurement. It's funny. You were always 2 yards short, or you were just the nose of the football beyond. Didn't matter how close it was.
Well, I give them a lot of credit. They're geniuses to come up with this and the way they've been able to do it. I mean, geniuses. And there are a lot of people. They employ a lot of people. They make a lot of money. It takes a lot to do this. It's a great business. Great business. The only problem I have is when guys like you take it a little too seriously. I'm telling you right now, they should be running to the right more. I'm playing Madden.
Every time I run it to the right, it goes for 20 yards.
That's where I start to tune you out. I'm like, okay. Got to be throwing to the tight end more. Every time I throw the tight end, the Madden, it works. Okay.
You have a 5-point lead with 10 seconds to go. The other team's out of timeouts. You hit the Ask Madden button. He goes, kneel down. I'm like, I don't think so. We're throwing it deep.
But think about it. They're the first ones really to use analytics. Appa, Stratomatic. They used analytics to come up with that if you played 162 games with Mike Schmidt and he had 48 home runs in a given year, he should be in the 45 to 50 home run range in your game.
What's amazing is how they incorporated all of it. Like you'd have, for instance, Mike Schmidt would strike out probably more than most hitters. So if you had a pitcher with a K who was like a Nolan Ryan, who was a strikeout pitcher, then what would be a double off the wall turned into a strikeout.
Right.
You're like, wait a minute.
So, right. Exactly. Exactly. And that's, you know, that's back when they had cards. Now, I mean, look, my boys all had video games. All did. They could never get me into it. I just had, it's just one of those things. I never had any interest in it, in part because I am the fun sucker.
We had one rule at our house that my mother made. My father and I could only play team. We were never allowed to play against each other. Very ugly.
My
You're
boy's
cheating.
Trying to get me into it.
I can't
my
believe you cheated.
Now I get to hear it on the golf course, and then you have to say, Kevin, we're on the same team. Oh, we're just not using any of your shots.
That's not pass interference. I got robbed. The computer cheated me.
Drafts tonight. Enjoy it.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.